about walking in our strength. And the truth of the matter is that he hit it right on a button. When I go through this, you'll see that it really is God's strength that makes us strong. So, but the issue that I think that we deal with as Christians is that when we think about what makes us strong, is that we have this worldview of strength. What we think makes us strong usually means more physical strength. It means more control over the environment around us or more knowledge. And we perceive that as making us stronger, better than somebody else. So when it comes to us being Christian, accepting the Lord as our Savior, now we take on a whole different perspective. Because actually Scripture talks about those things make us weak. And that's some of the things that I'm going to talk about, what gives us strength and what makes us weak. You know, spiritual strength actually is counterintuitive to man's understanding. And that's why it's so difficult, because we have learned through the course of our relationship with others and people around us and our environment that, you know, that to be strong, we need to be on the top. And, of course, we know that Christ says the first will be last and the last will be first. So we need to come from a different perspective now as a Christian. So first of all, if we're going to be strong as Christians, it has to begin somewhere. And I'm going to start with a scripture, Matthew 16, 24 through 25. And it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.'" How many of us have completely denied themselves? It's a difficult task, right? It's something that as Christians we're walking through all the time. There's always something that we're holding on to. Could be money, could be a little bit of pride, it could be whatever it is. You know, God wants us to give it all to him. And through denying ourselves, we have a better capacity to do that. However, if we're going to deny ourselves, it requires us to believe in something greater than ourselves. Because if you're going to give something up, if you're going to deny this individual right here, then the only way you're going to do that is that it has to be greater than you. You have to believe in something greater than you. Because if it's here or if it's down here, I ain't giving myself up for that. So the first thing that we have to do is come to an understanding of what is it going to take. Well, our strength to deny ourselves actually begins by our accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? We all know that that's our starting point. But and the thing is that the only way that we can actually deny ourselves is to have someone who helps us understand why we need to do that. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we get the help of the Holy Spirit. And by hearing and reading the Word of God. When we do that, truths are revealed along with a greater understanding of God's purpose. So now we find that there may be something greater than our understanding that will drive us to deny ourselves. But it only happens as long as we interpret God's word according to his intent. It's like understanding algebra or calculus. You know, as you learn and study, you understand the core of the subject. Once you understand the truth, you get stronger in your interpretation and able to solve all the problems at hand. But what happens when you misinterpret or misrepresent the formula? You fail. The same applies to the Word of God. See, the Word of God is one of the things that gives us our strength. It gives us our direction. If God's love is not in it, it doesn't matter what we interpret. It will fail. If we misrepresent God's intent, we will fail. If we create our own interpretations, we will fail. You get my point? Nothing that comes from the flesh will please God or bear fruit. In Galatians 3, 1 through 3, it says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing in what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" And I can tell you that happens, I hate to say, far too often. Far too often we begin because we've heard the word. Maybe this word today will change your heart. Maybe it'll change the direction of your walk. But because we didn't persist in trying to understand and develop that relationship with God, and that's my next topic, we lose our sight. We lose direction. And now, in order to maintain that direction, we start creating our own way. Where Jesus Christ is the only way, we now start to create, we use the word to benefit ourselves. So the word is given to us by the Spirit, and it is the beginning of building our strength. I mentioned something about starting relationships. Our relationship with Christ is imperative. Our relationship with God is everything. Amen? The enemy knows that relationship will make you strong and will allow you to resist him. So where do you think he works the hardest? To discredit the existence of God. Or to make his word, well, those are just stories. They're not really truths. But you know, did you know the Bible is actually the history of man's experience with God? It's no different and no less valid than any history book we've ever written. It is a history of God, but man who does not want to serve God will try to make it invalid. He wants to deceive us to believe that man has it right. We perceive the intelligence of others greater than the word of God, and we get led astray by what appears to be their intelligence. But I'll tell you something, when you've got the Holy Spirit with you, you are more intelligent than the smartest man on earth. Amen? There is nothing that you can't learn from God that man is struggling to learn on his own. And we've learned, I'd say, looks apparently in the last, I mean, since I was a kid, but even in the last 10, 20 years, it's amazing the things that have changed and the way this world has changed. I can't believe I can't find a phone on the street anymore. That used to be my staple. I used to pull up into a gas station parking lot and make my calls to get my voicemails from work. Amen? So, Satan will use all who disbelieve to give theories to disprove God's existence. And a couple of them come to mind. We all know Darwin. And there's another gentleman, Hawking, who are trying to discredit. As a matter of fact, I think this guy Hawking just came up with a theory which now firmly makes him believe that there's no God. And it's just a theory, of course, but it's his theory, so that's what he's going to hold on to. So we can see that, you know, we struggle with the information. So if we don't get the information through the Holy Spirit, then we will take the information that we receive because of our lack of knowledge about the power of God and his creation. See, it's just not the words that are going to make a difference. It's how you receive them by the Spirit and how it is interpreted by the Spirit, not by us. He also wants to make us believe that God doesn't care. How many have been there? You know, we struggle in life, and And we can't figure out. We've prayed for things we want. We pray for this. We do that. And it doesn't seem like God's listening. Well, I want to give you a scripture from Paul. And Paul, who probably endured more trials in life than we will ever encounter, almost being killed, imprisoned, beaten, you know, shipwrecked, you name it. A man who stood on a ship he knew was going down and said, "Don't worry," to everybody else. He was the strength for everybody around him. By the way, I'm getting to that. That's where we should be. But in Romans 8, 35, and then 37 through 39, it reads, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Amen? "For I am convinced that neither death nor life..." So you see, he negates both of those. "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Now, if you believe in the Word of God, that scripture just grabs your heart and tugs at it. Matter of fact, all scriptures should grab your heart and tug at it to bring you closer to God. We need to spend more time in the Word because that's our strength. That's where our strength comes from, our understanding. Our strength is founded in our relationship with God, just like it was with Paul's that made him stand through all the hardships that he went through and write this scripture and stay strong. He was there for everybody that he came in contact with. He did not rush off and run because he couldn't get this or couldn't get that from God or because this was happening or that was happening. He stood fast because you know why? He loved the people around him. He cared about those people. And just like us, we need to care about each other enough that it doesn't really matter. I mean, even your leadership, the pastors. Nobody says they're perfect. Nobody is perfect. God says that we need to love each other regardless of position. It doesn't really matter. You know, we are here to serve. When we have a solid relationship with God, we develop stronger relationships with each other. Amen? And when we know the Father's will through His Word, we can better understand how we are to serve each other. By serving each other, we become stronger. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the course of my being here where somebody's come up to me and said, "You know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so called me, and it was right when I needed it." You know? Or somebody prayed for me, and it's just exactly what I needed to hear. So what you do makes a difference. How much of it you want to do is really up to your choice, but God has greater plans for you than you can even fathom. Our greatest strength is love. So therefore, the lack of it makes it our greatest weakness. Amen? How many of us can think of somebody right now in our mind that there's no way that I can love them? You know, God says we have to. And it's not for ourselves. It's not for our own personal gain. It's for their gain. Because now, as servants of Christ and being disciples, we are here to serve and to lead others to the peace and the glory, hopefully, that we have within us. And if the glory of God is in you, people will see it. We strive for it. So this scripture tells us why it's our greatest weakness. It says, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. You know, he's talking about some great gifts. Can you imagine, you know, if Ed Trout came, he's got that gift of prophecy, but if he had love, nothing that he gets, nothing, he gains nothing for himself. You know? Nothing that we do, that if we can't maintain the love of God has for us and others, then our relationship with God will be unfruitful. We begin to waver in our faith because nothing we ask for is coming to fruition. It's where the enemy wants us, by the way. He wants us making requests to God without the love in our heart. He wants us to think we're doing the good work while we're really not doing anything that's going to benefit us. Not that God can't use us even in our sin. I mean, there's been people used. I mean, you look at Job. I mean, at Job, Jonah. You know, when he was running from God, I mean, that kind of a sinful act, right? But God still used him to save the people of Nineveh. So God can use us even. I'm talking about what benefits us. Not that you can't be used. Love is our greatest strength because it is the essence of God. You know, it talks in Scripture, if God is with us, who can be against us? And that Scripture needs to reside in you, regardless of the struggle and trials that you go through. In 1 John 4:8, it says, whoever does not love God, or whoever does not love, does not know God, because God is love. So we need to revisit that. I mean, to be honest with you, love's the basic of our Christian walk. It's where we have to be in order to really be of any effect. You know, I know that, you know, Laura and Darren, you guys are out there in the field and you run up against a lot of different people, you know. And if they didn't have a heart for the people that were coming to them, it would be very difficult for them to do the work that God's called them to do. You have to have the love, regardless of what's coming at you or coming against you, to stand. When we have love, it is where the power of the Spirit resides in us. God proved his love with the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ proved his love by walking himself to the cross. You know what? Christ didn't have a conviction to die. It was his conviction of love that was greater. It allowed him to walk through that, go through that punishment, be tortured and crucified for us. And if we need to revisit that on a regular basis. We need to go back to that and see that and say, Jesus, I love you because of what you've done for me. I love you because you've shown me what you want from me. You know, Christ is our example. So everything that we do should revolve around his example. His perfect example in love. When we have acknowledged his sacrifice and accepted his love, that allows us to begin an exciting journey. You know, I don't know it, but you know, there's times when in prayer that I have been given revelation over revelation, and I'm going to get into that, so I don't want to jump too far. But you can. There are things that get revealed to you that you couldn't even fathom in your flesh. Now, somebody mentioned that earlier, like Pastor Don or somebody. But you know, there's things that we can't fathom that are potential for us that we can accomplish here in this world. If we can just lay down a little bit more of ourselves, we can deny a little bit more of ourselves. Love connects everything and opens up the door to all possibilities. Everything, if you want to connect the dots, it all goes back to love. God knows our heart. Have you ever had anybody that told you that? I had a family member say that one time. God knows my heart. You know, and I really wanted to say something different. I didn't. I just let it slide. But, you know, God does know our heart. And, you know, there's nothing that you do in secret that he doesn't know about. You may fool everybody else that, hey, nobody sees me, so it's no harm. But if you believe in God, God sees you. God knows everything. It's written on your soul. Until you've been forgiven and asked for forgiveness for those things, it's right there. It's like doing everything with in a glass house where everybody can see through. God sees through it all. He knows where we lack and what we need. And that's why getting closer to him is essential to our reaching our potential. And he knows that potential because he put it in us. Love gives us freedom. It frees us from all bondage. It allows us to forgive those who have harmed us, trespassed against us, lead us not into temptation, all those things. But it allows us to see the missing potential in people who have offended us. You know, if somebody's coming up to you, if somebody's harassing you, or if somebody is in your face about something, instead of responding the way our flesh would normally respond, if we have love in our heart, we see what issues that individual may have in their life, as opposed to what you think about what made them do that, as opposed to they're not going to do that to me. So we totally come at it from a different perspective. It also gives us a desire to help them. It allows us to lay down our life for others, and it removes the fear and allows us to do the work. Now, how many of us would say, I know a few people that would say, I will never go on a mission trip, right? Never, never, it's your flesh. Because when you turn your heart to God, and God says, this is where I want you to go, you say, send me. And, you know, you may fear that idea right now, and so therefore, you know, some of us don't want to get too close because of where we think God's going to send us. But the truth of the matter is, when you know and understand and love God so much that when he sends you, you know you're going to do work and your love is going to change a life, and that's important to you because it's important to God, you say, send me. Amen? Wherever you need me, send me. But we will not get there until we develop that love relationship with God and deepen it. So that means you need to spend some time praying and doing those things. Humility. I spoke about this about a little over a week ago. But humility is another great strength. If humility is our strength, then what is our weakness? Pride, right? Pride is needy. And it's very subtle sometimes, and sometimes it's buried in us and we don't recognize it. But pride seeks recognition, and it's always seeking attention. So are we somebody who is needy? You know, you need to ask yourself that question and be honest with yourself. Where am I needy? What do I need from people? If I do this, if I come up here and speak, do I need something from you to bring accolades to me for a good message? You know, or do you need something when you come up and you speak in front of everybody and you give them, you know, what God's put on your heart? Is that something that you need, or is it something that you're giving? And I challenge you to test that within your own spirit, because it could be both. But I'm just saying that, you know, pride, I remember, and I think I shared this story one time, pride can be so subtle to even ourselves that There was a guy that once said, you know, I'm going to be the most humble man in the church. What is that? Pride. He wants recognition for his humility, right? So pride seeks recognition. We as Christians struggle with humility because we think of humility in with the wrong context. We think of humility as undesirable, especially men, because it's something that we associate with weakness. We think the act of being humble is like becoming a doormat. The truth is, humility doesn't come from our weakness, it comes from our strength. And that's a different concept, because when we become humble, we're not looking for anything, and we're submitting ourselves, regardless of our knowledge and our wisdom in God and all of those other things that He has given us, but we have submitted ourselves for the benefit of somebody else. True humility, I said, comes from our strength because it is the confidence of our relationship with God. Now, confidence, when I gave this message, I think it was Dan, I don't know if he's here, but Dan mentioned that he thought that confidence was pride. Well, confidence seeking attention is pride, but putting our confidence in someone else is humility. And that's when we become humble, when we know that God is behind us and that by being humble, then He can do the work. It's not us anymore. Amen? A humble person who loves God is a greater servant. We could use a lot more servants in the church. If we humble ourselves to God and each other, we become better teachers. Generally, you know, not everyone learns how to love or be humble on their own. They learn from hearing the word and by our example. And we can be great examples if we choose humility and the love of God. My last strength, I think, is prayer. Prayer is the cornerstone that upholds our strength because it sustains our relationship with God. It also battles the enemy. And I noticed even Pastor Don said, you know, we've been praying every morning at 8:30 up here. And I've had people come up to me and say that, you know, they've noticed the difference in the service. They've noticed that things seem to be a little bit more vibrant. You know, and or that the music is better, whatever. Now, you know, whatever it is, you know, it may not touch everybody, but it's obviously touching some. And, you know, therefore, you know, we can see that prayer can make changes even in the environment that we're in. So I'd invite you to come up and pray in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, before the message upstairs. Our prayer should be more seeking. If we want to gain strength, it should be more seeking than asking. And not that we can't ask, but in our prayer should be just a simple conversation. It doesn't need to be elaborate or formal. It can just be a simple, just like we talk ourselves to God. You know, it's something that we just start to ask Him, Lord, I want to know more about what I can do. And Lord, if I don't feel like I want to do it, give me strength to desire that. Desire whatever you ask me that I'd be willing to do it. Help me to love those who I can't love. You can start praying for the people that you know you have a hard time with. You know, give me direction on how to address the issue there because they're not receiving what I'm saying. So, when we pray with love, we pray in love with humility, our prayers will reflect God's purpose and we will be guided by the Holy Spirit in exciting new ways. You know, I've said God knows your heart, so we must keep pressing in so that we can be obedient to His will and not our own. Through prayer, God reveals His secrets. And to those who are ready to willing to do his will, you will find life more fulfilling and exciting because of the things the Spirit of God shows you. Amen. God didn't make this process easy. He didn't make it simple. You know, and I've got my own opinion about that, but, you know, our struggles, everything that we struggle through is an opportunity for us to learn how to submit more to God and how to trust in him. We must remember that where our strength comes from. And remember that we can do nothing that pleases God without humbly accepting the love that Christ has shown us and sharing it with others. Amen. Amen. That's it. We have the prayer team come forward. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you have given us, all the understanding that comes from your word. And Father, I pray that we attempt to seek you more, that we bear down and get into your word, Father, and pray more, Father God, so that we can learn your love, learn to understand what it takes to love in spite of the things that are coming at us, Lord. Help us to lay ourselves, our flesh down, and serve you and the people that you've put around us in a greater way. Father, I pray that you give us a victorious life, Lord. And I pray that all your blessings would fall upon each and every person here and even those who couldn't attend. In Jesus' name, amen.